You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Can you say hard hats, folks? Hard hats, lunch pail, steel toe boots?
Anything short of a championship this year is a failure.
Look at this boomer right here.
You've just got so much talent here.
Somebody said we need to apologize for Jalen.
Can I call the John? What are we apologizing for? What did we say? What did we do?
Wow. We're good to rolling, but I'll tell you what, Amit. Amit, producer Amit in the back. We don't need the roll-in tonight. Not after this one. Not after this one.
Yeah.
How's everybody doing? Josue Pavone in the building with Jimmy Toscano here. What is that? What is that sound? Who's messing around with like the audio and graphics and stuff?
That's probably you, Jimmy.
That's not me, dude. Someone's trying to frame me here. Someone's trying to frame me here, man, already.
Amit's got the jokes tonight.
Unbelievable, Amit from Atlanta.
Boomer right here.
Yeah, he Amit's on. Well, hey, I'm glad Amit's having a good time because you know what, Josue? That was tough to watch as the Celtics drop a 120-118 game in Atlanta to
the whole city of Atlanta about to have a good time tonight.
And battered Atlanta team that had no business even being in this game. The Celtics go up 30 points. And they lose. They completely disappear in the second half. Things go south. Things started to go south late in that second quarter, Josue. There weren't any adjustments or enough adjustments. It's after Hawks come out firing to start the third quarter. Missoula decides to keep, play going. Doesn't want to call a timeout. Wants to see if the players can figure it out on their own, as we've seen them try to do over and over and over the last few years. And as we've seen many, many times over, they do not figure it out. Missoula has to call a timeout. The damage was done at that point. The Hawks were officially back into the game. And fourth quarter, more of the same. And the Hawks pulled one off. They pulled one off in the end. I would say a combination of lackluster defense by the Celtics, sloppy play on the offensive end. Again, living by the three in the first half, dying by the three in the second half, and this is your result, Josue. Speechless.
Yeah, man. I was speechless. Just how fast things happen, right? And obviously, the Celtics did get the lead back in safe territory, so to speak, right? Got it back to double digits, but the Atlanta Hawks, I should say, man, they just completely switched up their approach on defense. All of a sudden, they cared on that end of the floor, and man, Krejci's knocking down threes. You got, Matthews Krejci knocking down threes. It was insane, Jimmy. This guy's a two-way player. Guys are just going off.
Yeah.
You got
talk about doing the YouTube highlight reel. Oh my God, I had to pull that one out.
I'm sure you were looking at his mixtape, being like, "Where did this guy come from?"
Krejci's playing basketball now.
Man, no lead is safe with the Celtics, man. Like, this is it. Like, this has to be their mindset going into the playoffs, and you have to adapt to that, because it's one of those things where if you're the Celtics, it's like, we can never, ever, ever let something like this happen again. You know, how many times has it happened this season? And this is the worst one. And look, I'm not saying the sky is falling here. I don't think the Celtics have all of a sudden lost their, I don't think the chances of them winning a championship is diminished, but it's a humongous flaw to have, Jimmy. No lead is safe. No lead is safe. You can't ever say that about the Celtics.
Look at this, Josue. Celtics blow a 30-point lead for the first time since 96.
That happened too quickly, Jimmy. Okay, no lead is safe. All right? The rebounding, all of a sudden, Bruno Fernando getting aggressive in the paint, and the Hawks just stole the momentum completely, and they did it in a hurry. All of a sudden, it's a two-point game, and you're not even in the fourth quarter. So, look, I just think this is has to be, like, the ultimate lesson for this team at this point of the season. Like, sure, you have the best record in the NBA. Sure, you have this humongous historic lead at the top of the Eastern Conference, but that's not going to secure you a championship. And by the way, this could be a team you see in the first round, you know? But, man, that happened in a hurry. I'm still trying to piece it all together, Jimmy.
Yeah, I mean,
what do you make of this thing? I saw you on the group chat going off, but I want to know, like, after you've, you know, kind of had a couple of minutes here before the show started, I'm sure you got some things brewing in here that you wanted to drop on me.
Yeah, we're all trying to, I think, wrap our heads around what just happened. But I mean, the lower third stat here, Josue, Celtics blow a 30-point lead for the first time since 96-97. That 96-97 team, Josue, was probably the worst. I think it was the worst Celtics team of all time.
That was Antoine's year, right? Rookie year, I think.
They went 15-67 that year, Josue. So what's stunning to me is that they ever even had a 30-point lead in that season. It's not stunning to me that they blew it. This Celtics team, the way they're constructed, and yes, no Derek White tonight, no Jrue Holiday. We get it. The starting guards weren't in the game. There is no excuse to drop a game that you had a 30-point lead in. I don't care if your starters are all sitting or what the situation is. You're a team with this roster construction. You can afford to miss it. We've seen the Celtics win plenty of games without all five of their starters, or even, you know, four of their starters. So not really an excuse. The way that they went up in this one, you have to figure out a way to maintain the lead. It's the NBA. We know that it's a game of runs, and you're not really expecting them to hold a 30-point lead for the remainder. But to let the Hawks come back the way they did, a team that's down and out, you know, their best players aren't, you know, not even playing, and to allow it to happen, it's like the PTSD again, Josue, and that's what it comes down to. No one's here tonight, at least on this show tonight, because John Zanis isn't with us, and say this team's toast. This team's done. They don't have what it takes. But I will say this. It's your biggest fear. It's your biggest fear, I think, is with this team, with the makeup of this team, is that, like you said earlier, no lead is safe. And it's a mentality thing. Jaylen Brown's going to go up on the podium or speak to reporters after the game. He's going to say the same thing that he has said many, many times after losses like this. We let our foot off the gas. We didn't come up with that same energy. You know, I think, you know, when we saw that, you know, their best players weren't playing, we sort of took it for granted. It's the same Groundhog Day type answers, right? And I have no idea what Joe was going to say. And actually, speaking of that, Joe Sway, why don't we go find out what Coach Joe had to say after this?
Yeah, Joe's up first. See what he says.
We got a clip here that Amin added. By the way, Bobby Manning is in Atlanta. He will be joining us at some point during the show. Producer Amin is in Atlanta. We'll see how that goes. You know, I'm one of Amit's favorite cities. But anyways, let's see what we got here from Joe.
Nine, what seemed to be live ball turnovers for points. You know, and then they shot the ball really well from three. So we got off to a really good start. But it's a good lesson. You let a team hang around. And, you know, they made, you know, those margin plays. You know, points off turnovers, three-pointers, offensive rebounds. And credit to them for, you know, battling back.
What kind of learning experience is this for you
there
guys?
He is.
What's kind of the big, you know, takeaway you have from this?
I mean, just so it would be in any game. Like, just got to start quarters, end quarters well, and execution, and then the idea of putting teams away when you can. You know, but also, you know, that's like 58 now at least. But you know, there's 58 times 20-point lead has either been tied, or the other team has taken the lead. So it's stuff like that's going to happen. We have to learn how to manage it. Continue to learn how to manage it. We do by managing runs, beginning quarter, end of quarter, and then the margins. You know, those things are the most important, regardless of who you play.
Joe, what happened to the offense in the second half? It seemed like you guys scored 44 points.
Yeah.
And they scored 44 points in the first quarter.
Yeah. Well, one, I think we shot like 40% from three in the first quarter. So I thought we got some good looks that we missed. But I thought their physicality, you know, they were extremely physical as soon as the ball got over half court. I thought that messed up just our offense, and they made us work for everything. So I thought they defended us pretty well, and I thought we missed some really good looks, you know, Peyton, Sam's, Fee, KP, some of those guys. So, you know, credit to them for their physicality.
Yeah. And it's a good thing they did that, Jimmy, because it made all the difference in the world. I just felt like when the Celtics got out to that humongous lead, it was like, this is historic, literally, right? I think it was the first time since like the mid-90s, around the same time that the Celtics, I guess, blew that huge lead back in the mid-90s, that you had so many players in double figures going into the second quarter.
And three guys, like, yeah. Three guys in double figures.
You couldn't slow them down, you know, between Porzingis, Tatum and Brown. I mean, Tatum and Brown combined for almost 30 points in that first quarter. That was insane. And then Porzingis is heating up. You got Peyton Pritchard continuing the stretch of impressive basketball that he's been on, being that facilitator, showing that he can be someone that you can rely on to hold down the offense, to run the offense, I should say. And then all of a sudden, the Atlanta Hawks make adjustments. Shout out to head coach Quinn Snyder, who, of course, you know, had a best of seven series last year against this team. It just seemed like in his face, he's just like, man, I want to make this, you know, this is gonna be an interesting game in the second half, because you saw the comeback already starting to take form, I should say, in that first half in the second quarter. I felt like when they came out with that different approach, that's when everything changed, between applying extra pressure on Pritchard, between getting extra possessions, rebounding, just Bruno Fernando. Like, it was one of those, like, okay, we're gonna leave it all out on the floor and let's just see if that leads to great possessions and open shots. And it did. All of a sudden, the three-point line opens up for the Hawks, and they just started completely just taking control of the game, I feel like. Again, I said earlier, the Celtics took it back. They bring the Hawks fight their way back, and all of a sudden, you know, 3 minutes, 2 minutes into the game, it's anyone's game. And I just hate that scenario for the Celtics. I really do, Jimmy. I don't trust them in those spots. Mm-hmm. I love to see Jaylen Brown go straight to the hoop, you know, seeking the high percentage shots, because he was, whether it was off the switches or whether it was beating his man one-on-one, he had the upper hand. And I like that. But then all of a sudden he gets the ball again, and he did like the bad version of Tatum. You know, remember when he just dribbles out the clock and all of a sudden he's looking for a screen, he's getting farther and farther away from the basket, and the clock's going down to 7, 6, 5. And all of a sudden you barely have a chance to make a quality shot, or at least or get past your man. So I just thought those mistakes just add up in the end. And I feel like the Celtics are just prone to make those mistakes if it's a close game and there's only a couple of minutes left to play, or in that instance, you know, 10, 12 seconds.
I mean, are you okay with what Mazzulla said? I mean, basically just saying it felt like the Hawks were going to the 50-50 balls, winning between the plays. I mean, you saw some sloppiness from the Celtics during the second half, whether it was, you know, Tatum walking the ball up to an 8-second violation there. That's kind of unacceptable. I know he didn't like it, but obviously it was close enough in the officials' eyes where, I mean, dude, just come on. I mean, there's nobody even playing defense on you at that point. The Celtics were at least pressuring the Hawks full court at points during this game. But that's just one example of you know, just your head not being in the game in that second half. And again, it started late in that second quarter. You could see it. 30 points all of a sudden becomes 20 points. And then right out of the gate, sure enough, you know, the Hawks continue that. So Tatum, again, it was a tale of two halves. I mean, he finishes with 37 points. The three-pointer wasn't really there tonight, especially in the second half for anybody. 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. Other than that, though, I wouldn't say that there was a ton of help on the offensive end. And we want to get into Porzingis a little bit later in this one. We'll talk to Bobby and figure out if something's been a little bit off with Porzingis. Brown, 24 points, 10 of 22 from the field. Again, 2 of 7 from 3. These guys from 3 tonight weren't hitting the way that the Celtics needed them to. I mean, you had Hauser going to go cold there in that second half. Pritchard had some problems. And damn, is just everyone going to give him the too little now? Because I felt like that happened to him again tonight.
Yeah, it's kind of an easy go-to, you know? You just kind of have that look. You just want to be like, oh, this.
Short shaming, man. Not on this show. Yeah, you won't get that on this show, Joe Sway.
Nah, not tonight. But the, you know, the... The guy in this equation, he was on the wrong end of it, man. Like Pritchard, it's a great experience for him, you know, to learn to be in those tough spots. Not always easy how the defense can make adjustments on the fly, and all of a sudden it seemed like it was easy and everything was coming together the way he wanted it to, until all of a sudden the extra pressure and the switches, I felt like, really disrupted him. But yeah, man, I just feel like the Atlanta Hawks, they put forth the effort on the defensive end of the floor that the Celtics just weren't ready for, because it came out of nowhere. Like, they weren't doing that in the first half, you know, not even close to it, even throughout that second quarter or the tail end of it. And, you know, Mazzulla always talks about ending quarters on a high note. You know, you can easily say the Hawks really were the ones that were carrying not the momentum, I should say, but they were a bit more confident at the end of the second half than the end of the second quarter than they were to start the second, if you ask me. So I just think all it took for them is to get off to a great third quarter. And that's exactly what happened. All of a sudden, it wasn't a double-digit deficit anymore.
No. And
what do you think about what Jared here said? That's interesting, because it was point Tatum, right? Before JB, I felt like sort of had the hot hand. I feel like he was seeking the high percentage shots. You know, I love what he was doing compared to what he was doing in the second quarter. I feel like he was taking a lot of he was selling for a lot of threes in that second quarter when the Hawks started to kind of build little by little, chipping away at that 30-point deficit. But you know, I didn't hate seeing the ball in Jalen's hands, though, because again, he did the right thing in the second to last possession or so. And then when
it's not ideal. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, this was my concern going into this game when they announced that Holiday and White were out. You have Pritchard, who, again, give Pritchard credit for the way he's played as of late and his ability to contribute, but he's coming off the bench for a reason. And there are size differences. There are mismatches that the Hawks can and try to exploit there. When you're without your two guards, there's obviously going to be complications, I think is probably a word to use, with the offense and running the offense the ideal way that you'd run it. I mean, that you have either Holiday or White. If one of those two guys are out there in the playoffs at all times, you don't run into a fraction of the issues that you can run into in a situation where you need to execute down the stretch. And it's, you know, Tatum, it's point Tatum or point Brown, and everybody else is just kind of caught looking around at that point, because your options do kind of become much more limited in that situation. And so if that's the one spin zone you want to come out of this one, is that, you know, this never happens if you've got your guards in the game, then maybe you can make that point. And again, I think that's why you take this one with a grain of salt, not to make excuses. It's pathetic that they would, you know, allow a 30-point comeback in this fashion. But you have to try to find the middle ground a little bit. This isn't going to be the doomsday game for them. But it does bring up some, again, I said the word PTSD earlier. It just brings up old fears, I guess, you know what I mean? Yeah. Of situations where you're looking for that killer instinct in these types of games. Just put the team to bed. The talent level is so much higher on your end.
Yeah, and the one thing
you want to look at, right? No, it is. But that's the thing, is you got to
doing the same things,
right? You got to, but they weren't doing the same things. But they also, I think that they just let the momentum kind of flip completely. But you look at the last, I think, three or four games. Even though prior to this game, the Celtics are still winning those games, they're doing it in a way where I'm not sure you can do it the same way in the playoffs. They're not relying at all on defense right now. It doesn't seem. They're allowing teams to shoot 50%+ from the, from the field against them. And they are relying, I think, just on talent, you know, outscoring basically. Right. Which at the end of the day, great. That's what it's all about. But I think in the playoffs, there's a different mentality that takes place. Teams clamp down, opponents will clamp down on the defensive end. And if you get in a situation where you are relying too heavily on that 3-point shot, and it sways as dramatically as it does tonight, that's how you lose a lead so quickly, Josue. If you're just praying that these threes are falling, and they were falling at 50% rate, I think, in the first half. So yeah, that explains why you're up 20 points or whatever it was.
Well, yeah, they got trigger happy. That's true.
As soon as that stops falling, okay, run some plays, call timeout, draw some things up, work the ball around. When they were moving the ball, even without the guards, there were points in this one where they were moving the ball and they were scoring with ease. That starts to slow down, and then all of a sudden you start to play a little bit more reactive than proactive. You're not getting the stops on the defensive end. Now you're not getting out and running, and oh shoot, now the threes aren't falling either. So now you have to get back on defense, long shots, long rebound situation. And the Hawks got out and run, and they had guys come through for them tonight. I mean, Krejci, who was the other guy that got hot for them? Where is it?
The Matthews. Which one?
Well, actually, looking at it, there was a few, but yeah, I mean, it wasn't Matthews, but
a few.
Bogdan was hitting shots late in the game, and
Hunter, hit a big one in transition.
Hunter, that was the one that put him up.
And then Hunter, man, just to have the stones to take that shot, like you're supposed to get fouled on that. He hits the three. That's when you're like, okay, this is, so this is probably going to win this game. You know, it's unfortunate. I just think, when the Celtics, when the offense, like, you know what, you're right, Jimmy. I just think it starts on the defensive end of the floor, and that starting five, it's just not the same without Derek White, man. Like, I just, I mean, obviously coming off of what he's been doing of late, player of the week, all that, what he means to the defense, what he means to the offense, essentially, but especially on the defensive end, I just feel like when he's making these key stops, it's like, it's almost contagious. All of a sudden, everyone else wants to step it up on that end of the floor, you know? And this is one of those games where they could have really used him, but I just thought that someone like Peyton Pritchard, you know, this was a great spot for him. It wasn't one of those games where I'm like, man, why didn't White play, or it was too bad? But because at this point of the season, you want someone like Pritchard to get an opportunity like this. And he was thriving, you know, in that first half. So it's unfortunate that he was unable to adjust, or at least, you know, when the adjustments happened on the defensive end of the floor for the Hawks, whether it was point Tatum or whether it was Brown down the stretch, you know, this team just couldn't figure it out because they kept them at bay for a little bit, but then back they came, the transition buckets, you know, rebounding, Celtics settling for threes, a lot of three-point shots, I felt like, that just turned into transition layups for the Hawks. You know, it's just one of those things that happens so fast. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, Celtics, they've been through this so many times this year. You know, they're gonna do the right thing, but you give up, you lose one key possession, and it's just one of those things where that's how thin the.
What do you think of this question? Thank you, Eric. By the way,
Hunter makes a three, and it's game over pretty much.
Eric Polanco asks, late game offense is going to lose us tight games in the playoffs. It's so predictable. Do you guys agree, Josue?
Yes, absolutely. I don't trust this team down the stretch, man. I told you, you know, flip a coin. I don't like the Celtics' chances. It's 50-50, you know, because you don't know if it's going to if Tatum's going to make the right play, if it's going to be Brown. I mean, sometimes it feels like most of the time it's Tatum, but in this game, I love that it was Brown. You know, at least that the last two possessions, he didn't make the right decision in that very last one, but I just think the Celtics have to get that down, man. And it's one of those things where, like, you're really encouraging teams, you know, to just stick around. And you put yourself in a position to win, and the Celtics, they'll fold. They'll stumble on themselves, and you'll have chances. But you got to seize the moment, obviously. And Hunter did that in a big way by shooting that three. He didn't want to go into overtime. It's like, look, whatever. I'm going to take the chance here.
Yeah, He's just an idiot. I think he got caught up. I think he got caught up.
I can put these guys to sleep right now, and he did it, man. He did it. Look, that's not the reason why they won the game.
He could have just dribbled up the clock practically instead. But whatever, it went in, and yeah, like you said, whether it was balls of steel or rocks in your brain, one or the other, either way, it went their way. So I had the same concerns, but I didn't as, and the reason why it's different is because I have a lot of trust in Holiday. I have a lot of trust in White. I have a lot of trust in Porzingis, and we've seen what Tatum and Brown can do. And I think you trust them a little bit less because we've seen both sides of them a little bit more, right? In those situations where they've either made the big shot or the bonehead turnover, right? Or just a bonehead play. So again, there is that aspect of you're like, okay, have we outgrown this? Have we moved forward and are we going to execute down the stretch? Do you trust Joe? That's another question down the stretch in a tight game to understand the situation and have a play lined up and not just have it be Tatum ISO or whatever. It's pretty much seems to be like the default. And that was criticism earlier this season, was that everybody in the world knew it was going to go to Tatum. Why? You have Porzingis, you have, you know, other options on this team now that can be just as effective, if not more. So that's why I'm not as concerned, Josue. There are better options this year. I think we can all agree that the team has been firing on all cylinders again, prior to the last, 30 minutes of this basketball game, but
RIP the win streak, huh?
Yeah, it needed to end at some point, I guess, right? And there are people in the chat saying, you know, they needed a loss like this, or like it's just one, blah, blah, blah. Like, and maybe that's true. Again, that's another little bit of a spin zone. But for me, I think it would have made everybody feel a hell of a lot better if, let's say, they blow the lead, but they figure out a way to close it out, right? And we saw that, I think, last week. They had a similar situation where they closed it out late. So that's my issue out of this game. It's not that they lost, you know, it's whatever, one loss out of the way that they've been playing. It's not a big deal. It's just that it's how they lost. It's not having that. You want to have the freaking killer instinct to not allow the comeback, A. And then you want to say, you know what? All right, we're done effing around. Let's put these guys to bed here late in the game. You know, whether it's Tatum or Brown or
Porzingis.
They didn't.
I'm not saying this is always the case, Jimmy, but they didn't have it this time. I mean, look, I love the throwdown dunk by Tatum, the rah-rah moment. That's great. But, like, did it cost him an 8-second violation to wake up? Possibly. You know what I mean? Like, I just think it was one of those quarters where it was just like, he's taking his time. He's like, oh, everything's going to be okay. And the Hawks just said, look, we're not going anywhere. You know, essentially, that's what they said all fourth quarter. And obviously, they had to hit some big shots as well. But they scrapped, man. They fought for possessions. They, you know, won 50-50 balls. They drew fouls, key fouls, big fouls. I mean, look, I thought Springer was, you know, to be put in that spot, he certainly made the most of it, but, you know, he made a foul as well. That put the team into the penalty. And then the Hawks capitalized on that. They got to the free throw line over and over again, you know, in those last couple of minutes. So I just think it was just the snowball effect, you know, essentially of what we've seen in the past. PTSD ball, Jimmy. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's pretty much what it is, because we've seen this before. We've seen the criteria of a Celtics breakdown when they have a humongous lead, but never like this. 30 points, man. That's a look. I'm not saying this again. I said at the top, it doesn't diminish the Celtics' chances, but man, it really does apply extra pressure when they're back into these situations, especially in the postseason. I just hope they're ready for it. I just hope they are. I'm not quite sure.
So 120, 118, Josue, that's what our golf scores probably look like too. And speaking of golf scores, guys, we want to introduce a new sponsor of ours, PXG.
Yeah.
You guys probably are very familiar with PXG.
Get your gear.
Yep, for the golf clubs that they put out there. But now they're getting into the clothing game, Josue, the apparel game, if you will.
That's what I meant. I meant the fits.
Yeah, exactly. So right now, you can go to pxg.com/garden and save 10% on all apparel. Guys, it's like kind of like late March now. April's right around the corner. The Masters are going to be on TV soon. Everyone's getting into golf mode. I know we're still like we're ramping up here for playoff basketball. But once the sun comes out and we here in New England, man, it's cold as hell still. But we can get the temp up to about like 50s, like we're golfing. You know what I mean? Like we're going out there, we're golfing. You want to look good. And now with PXG, you can look good. So you want to elevate your style game on and off the course with the PXG Spring Summer 2024 collection. Head over to pxg.com/garden and save 10% on all apparel. That's pxg.com/garden to save 10% on apparel. pxg.com/garden. I'm going to be there. I'm going to get a couple polos. Got to get the fitted polos, Josue. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. PXG makes a nice fitted polo. The quarter zip, you can't go wrong with the quarter zip. You got to look good. If you're going to hack it up for like 120 strokes or whatever, you got to at least look good doing so. Fake it till you make it. So
I feel like that's your go-to. Is that one of your go-tos in the summer? You know, that and some khaki shorts, something like that?
Oh, for sure, dude. You can't go wrong with that. And hopefully the Celtics aren't golfing anytime soon. But if they are, then go to pxg.com/garden, save 10% to do that. So one guy we haven't talked about yet, Josue. What is this? What did I just do? Did I do something here? Well, that was a mistake, I think. One guy we haven't talked about is Kristaps Porzingis. And a bit of a quiet one tonight. 7-14 from the field, 17 points, 5 rebounds, 3 blocks, -7 for the Celtics tonight. Anything to be concerned about with Porzingis? He's been in and out of the lineup, banged up here and there. again, not really the effective of not really the effective night you wanted to see from him. Pretty quiet, all things considered, and certainly not much help down the stretch.
Yeah, you know, I just thought the Hawks did a really good job of trying to keep him out of like his sweet spot. You know, when the ball was when he's in the around the free throw line and trying to get the ball going, and I feel like when the offense is really flowing, like he's a key part of that. And I felt like when the Celtics offense started to get going, he kind of let Jaylen and Tatum do the thing. He got those quick 10 points in the first quarter, and I feel like outside of that, or after that rather, he couldn't really find his offensive rhythm. You know, I think he was trying to get to his spots. The Hawks did a really good job of switching up, especially when Celtics tried to go to him in the paint. He was swarmed a lot of the times, and I felt like he just couldn't find his groove. You know, I just think missing those five games little by little, I feel like he's still kind of like, not, I don't want to say ramping up, but trying to get back into a rhythm. And I think these two games could really help him out. But yeah, I just think after that first quarter or second, essentially the first half, he was just trying to find his offense, especially those shots where it was kind of like late in the shot clock and he's behind a 3-point arc. They find him real quick. He's kind of forced to chuck it. And it wasn't one of those, like, he didn't look very comfortable out there. You know, either it was either forced or he was trying to, position himself in the paint, and the Hawks just weren't having it. You know, so I just think it was a tough night for Porzingis.
Yeah. A question here from Jared.
Thank you, Jared. Boxed out a lot too, man.
Celtics need to have Tatum play with Porzingis more when Brown sits. Thoughts on that? Sure. Why not? I mean, we know the great rapport that those two guys have, Porzingis and Brown, but let's be honest. I mean, Tatum and Porzingis are two-thirds of that three-headed monster, so yeah. You absolutely need to have a good back and forth between those two as well. You know, are you kidding me? By the time the playoffs get here, everyone's going to have to be comfortable with whatever combinations they can put out there. And I know Joe's been using this time, some of these games, to get a little bit creative, get a little funky with lineups, and they even started Pritchard in the second half tonight after he came off the bench to start the game. So again, a little wrinkle in that one. It didn't work because the Hawks just went off to start that third quarter. So again, I mean, Missoula's trying things, but you know, probably having a hard time figuring out exactly what was going to happen, what was going to help them in the second half tonight. Real quick, guys, before Bobby joins us, we want to remind everybody that we are doing our very own March Madness here in the Garden Report, and we've been running this bracket since Friday, I want to say, and some really good close matchups going on right now. Is the Kevin Jelly region. You can vote on that. I think you can vote on that now in the chat, but also on Twitter. I think it's Luke's Lemon Squares is up against the Stay Ready Crew. And then we have, Do You Have Children is up. I can't even see who they're playing against because we have the lower third in the way. Let me see if I can get rid of that. Here we go. Do You Have Children up against Luis Loves Jalen. So a couple matchups to vote on tonight, and then we will announce the Elite Eight. I think we'll probably have that announcement probably by tomorrow, I would imagine. And then fans will be able to vote on that, and then we'll go all the way through till we crown a champion. I think the favorites did a pretty good job so far, Josue, based on my review of some of the results so far. So should make for a pretty good bracket down the stretch here. Just want to remind everybody about that. What else you got in this one, Joe? Anything else stand out to you? We're going to get Bobby on with us shortly. I know he's been in the locker room. I think he looks like he's trying to log on here. We'll get Bobby on to play a little blame pie. Here we go.
Who's taking that up?
I'm still thinking, but I don't want to give it away yet. I don't want to give it away.
All right, we'll save it.
I want to make sure I see all the candidates before I make my final call. But it's gonna be a few different slices, I think, tonight.
Okay. No, man. It's the same thing, man. Same concerns. If anything, it's gone up a little bit tonight, man. Like,
yeah,
late game execution. And listen, teams, you have to win four games in the best seven series. So I'm not saying that. Again, I don't think this diminishes the Celtics' chances, but it's a humongous flaw, you know? I just think it's one of those things where it's gonna add up to losses in the postseason. How many of those happen throughout the course of a best of seven series? I mean, that's up to the Celtics. And do they fall under that pressure? I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, when's the last time we've seen a team have this big of a lead? You know, when's the last time we've seen a team out the East was so dominant, have such a dominant season? It seems like everything is already in place for them to go as far as everyone expects them to, which is at least the NBA Finals. However you feel about the Nuggets or whoever team you think is going to come out of the Western Conference is up to you, right? But for the most part, that's been the feeling of, you know, this whole time. But that's not how it always plays out in the playoffs, you know? And I'm not saying that the Celtics – look, I just think the Celtics – They're more than talented enough to get there, but these flaws, these type of losses, they're going to repeat themselves. And we just have to I can't wait to see what Joe looks like, what Joe's Mazzulla's team looks like the next time they're in the situation, because it's not just about the team making adjustments, but Joe's got to be the one calling the shots here. I mean,
you trust Joe?
The ISO and stuff, I'm not sure I do, Jimmy. I think it really does come down to the players a lot of those times, because obviously – I mean, they're the ones that have been through it so many times, and I'm not quite sure Joe always has like these set plays ready. You know, he's not a huge X and O guy. He's not going to put out these crazy, wacky plays that we haven't seen before. I mean, I'm sure he's saving something for the playoffs, but the Celtics have to get these reps down now, you know, for them to be prepared for that. And it seems like a lot of times it's I trust my superstars. You know, I trust Jalen or Tatum in an ISO situation. And I'm not quite sure that's best. I'm not quite sure you're maximizing your starting five. I'm not quite sure you're maximizing all the talent you have on this team when you do that.
Right.
You're really minimizing your chances in some instances. Not all the time. Like, when these guys are red hot, you do what you got to do. Brown was feeling it, I'd say. I don't know if I call it red hot. So, again, I'm not mad at who had the ball in his hand, but I'm not quite sure the play was the right one, or if there was at all anything was designed in that spot. Who knows?
Yeah. One guy we do trust, though, Josue. We trust him with all our hearts. Bobby Manning, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Sure, this is the biggest L he's seen.
Yeah.
Biggest
there can't be seen. A lot of there can't be a lot of reporters there, right? Like you must have pretty up close and personal reaction to one of the worst losses in franchise history, to be honest.
Yeah, that's where we're at.
Yeah, I'm guessing that has to be their biggest, if not one of the biggest collapses ever.
I remember 28 against first 30 plus point blow. What are they blew a 30 point plus lead. Collapse, it's 96-97. Yeah. 30 plus point collapse. It's 96-97.
Yeah, that's probably how far they track it. So, as far as I can remember, the biggest collapse I've ever seen from them. And you know, you have the obvious caveats of no Drew and Derek and their experiment. Right. All game, and they're running Springer and Svi in the fourth, so all that stuff accounts for it a little bit, but you do get in the crunch time, as Joe Sway said, and that's my big focus, is they did not perform well there, drowning down the clock on that Jalen possession. Poor defensively too was Kristaps' big takeaway, fouling too much in that moment, and running out of time effectively down four with 10 seconds left. I know that's kind of a desperation situation. And that three off the offensive rebound on the play before was just such an unconventional dagger. Normally you think a guy's going to hold in that spot, and he just launched it for the win. And credit to the Hawks. That's the kind
of. That was a wild play, right? I mean, that was a mistake.
Nah, man. Yeah. Dude had stones. Come on, Jimmy. Call it what it
stones
is.
Stones in his head. I mean, I can imagine.
There's a big play.
Yeah, come on, I mean, what do you
stepped think right about? Into it. Listen, he had
was
a
terrible was that a terrible was that just like he just was got too caught up in the decision. Moment, or does he just have those big cojones? Come on, which one is it?
It's a bad decision. Probably Josue, lost track of the situation.
If he misses that, probably let's say statistically 6 out of 10 times.
It wasn't a 1 point game.
We're all laughing at him.
Yeah, but you yeah, still
it was. It was a 1 point game.
It was a 1 point game. Yeah.
No. I'm saying. Oh yeah, it was a 1 point game. Well, I meant to say they weren't losing. They weren't losing.
No, so they weren't losing. Foul, they were winning.
I mean, you don't have to foul, even though he was supposed to be waiting for the foul. Yeah, it would have been. I don't know, man. It's one of those moments. You gotta see if you have it in you. And he definitely hit the big shot, man. And he's that guy. Come on, he takes shots like that. He's like that. Put it that way, right? He's not one of those conservative shooters.
He is like that for a reason. All right, we're gonna hear from Porzingis here for a second, Bobby, and then we'll get your guys' reaction to this.
You guys look so good for some parts of the game, and then not look so good for the rest. Like, how does that happen?
Relaxing. Relax, which is natural. You know, you go up 30, feel like everything's just smooth, and you relax. You give them some, and to that type of team. If you relax too much, to give him some open looks, those guys can make shots. You know, they're an offensive-minded team, and they got going. And then it's a tough battle to kind of bring it back to where we want it. And they played a competitive game, and we just gave them too much life.
We feel like the biggest thing you guys need to take from this one, learn from.
There he is. Grill him, Bobby.
To be honest, not overreacting. You know, I think we did a good job during the game, not overreacting, even though it was a big contrast in what happened in the game. It's the NBA. These kind of things happen, of course. We just don't want to make this a habit, you know, and it hasn't been a habit for us. We slipped one game, and we did relax a little bit, and we paid the price.
Paid the ultimate price.
Yeah. So, again, come on, get out of this. Nothing that we haven't heard them say many times before, Bobby. So why believe them this time? It's like the boy who cried wolf.
Yeah, and maybe it's not a habit, but they've done it multiple times. And multiple times this month, right? That Cavs game was this month. The 22-point collapse in the fourth. So you do have another situation, almost exact to this one, where you're in the fourth. You lose control of the game. You have a chance in crunch time, and you're not able to execute there. No points for the Celtics in the final minute. So offensive concerns there. KP thought it was not more ideal. Their defense. But, you know, you had a couple opportunities there in that final minute to seal the game, even after the massive collapse. You have your starters out there. I think Pritchard was out there late, so you had a point guard. Thought he played well in this game, especially after the collapse, to build another lead there. And you know, Vit Krejci comes out of nowhere and, you know, goes on his own 8-0 run. He played out of his mind tonight, and the shooting on the Atlanta side was out of this world. But you need to be able to establish control of the game again. And turnover on Tatum, just driving into Murray head on with, you know, 100 seconds left in the game's brutal, leads right to a three. And then, you know, Brown gets off a nice shot there, but then the following possession after the Murray layup, runs out the whole shot clock, step back three, had no real chance there. So those are two critical possessions under 2 minutes to play there where you had multiple chances to take a lead, get a stop on the other end, and shut this game down. And it really does come down to those couple possessions late in these games sometimes. And that's the only takeaway I have from this game, Jimmy. We know that both guards were out. We know that they were trying stuff all game long. And we know that the Hawks shot out of this world from three. But when you get to that final minute or two, you want to start to see them execute more consistently. And they have a good record in crunch time this year, Jimmy. We've been talking about this since the Cavs game. But they're 4-7 in games decided by 1 point with under a minute to go. And 1 point games with under 2 minutes to go. I'm going to get them with 2 points. Let's say 2 points. So like a one possession game. So we'll say 3 points under 2 minutes to go. The Celtics are...
drum roll, please.
12-11.
What was it again now? Can you repeat what the stat
is? One possession game under 2 minutes ago. Celtics at 12-11.
Josue, you said earlier, it's a coin toss.
50-50, man. I'm telling you. That's really what it is.
And you can,
that is tied for 10th in the league, but not good enough.
Expect closer games in the playoffs against, you know, better competition, tighter play, tighter defense, Bobby. And I don't know. I mean, you're a guy who screams defense a lot. This Celtics team hasn't been playing great defense over the last handful of games here. I mean, they're getting away with it because they're outscoring players. Right.
Yeah.
And then, you relax.
Where relaxing hurts you more than anything.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Especially when your means of offense relies more heavily on 3-point shots. If those go cold like they did in this game, combined with the laying off the gas on the defensive end, you saw how quickly that lead disappeared. It happened in a jiff. And that leads us to our – what's that?
They gave up a 37-10 run in 9 minutes. And it happens fast. I mean, Joe actually said after the game, I think he pointed to 58 games where teams led by 20 this year that got blown. I think that's what he was referring to. So, you know, he was big on this happens, and you need to expect it to happen. I think that more than any criticism he's had of this team resonates in recent weeks. The Bucks game, for example, Jimmy, they're up, what, 21 in that game? Goes down to three late. So that's another example of a massive blown lead. And I was screaming from the high heavens, Jimmy. Joe Sway and I just podcasted about it again yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
That game concerned me a little bit. Just because you let go of the rope so much and you put yourself in position late in that game to lose it. Credit to them in that game, Jimmy. It was the opposite of this one where they executed late in crunch time and got two key scoring plays.
Right. That's tonight, what I was thinking of. Yeah.
You blow two possessions and you lose this game. So crunch time concerns still exist. Handling the lead, managing the game, I think that's something Joe talks about too. Do you still trust them with that in these kind of spots where you build these big leads? It's going to be a factor here. And, you know, back to those crunch time stats, Jimmy, you know, you're 12-11 in those spots. Chicago, a team you could see in the first rounds, 19-12. Denver's 18-9. So you could have games in the playoffs that swing on crunch time. Even the Bucks, 13-9, a few games better than the Celtics. So those these kind of games could swing a series.
How much of that do you put on coaching?
I think a lot goes on coaching because for some reason or another, Joe talks a lot in these situations about how you need to speed up, you need to play with pace, and you can't wait too late in the shot clock to get into your actions. And they repeatedly do it over and over again. And there's got to be some way. Obviously, it's on the players first and foremost. But when you see this happening repeatedly, you need to be able to identify it as the coach and figure out a solution to it. And once again tonight, shades of Joe last year, he just shrugged off the crunch time stuff and said, yeah, you know, teams around the league all have trouble with that. You got to make shots. That's like 2023, Joe. And I don't love that answer. Got to find solutions in these spots. You're not the best in those situations. There's some teams in your class that are better than you in those spots. And does shot making decide a lot of that? Yes. But you can clearly identify, Jimmy, the pace issue, the getting into plays too late in the shot clock.
Yeah.
And the way you played games throughout the course of the night turning into isolation late. I mean, that Tatum possession was horrible. Just dribble, dribble, dribble right into Murray, and Murray just stripped him with ease. So I'm going to harp
Brown
on that.
Brown did one too. Brown had one too.
See, when you talk about PTSD earlier, Bob, you weren't here for this, but Jimmy was talking about that, you know, blowing leads and the Celtics just showing that bad side of them. That's what I think Quinn Snyder was starting to feel in the second half, that familiarity where it's like, wait a minute, I sort of got Porzingis out of the picture here. It looks like Tatum and Brown are going to try to, you know, put the team on their back, so to speak, or at least take turns and trying to put us away here. So why don't we just apply pressure to those guys? And I feel like it was just like the lead disappeared after that, you know, and then the Hawks really bought as much as they could to just keep applying that pressure, you know, and extend it all the way down to the end of the game. I just think that getting Jaylen out completely away from the three-point arc the way they did, knowing like they had a sense of how much time was on the shot clock the entire time. Like they had a game plan with the defensive end of the floor. And when the ball got back to Jaylen, they executed. And I felt like Jaylen was really surprised. I just feel like he was thrown off guard. And that's something that the Celtics have to work on. They got to prepare themselves for those situations, whether it was Jaylen Brown, whether it was Jason Tatum, or whether they're doing what I like to see them do, what got them essentially the huge lead in the first half, is just move the ball around with Porzingis in the middle, get guys going on the wing, constant ball movement where everyone's getting their touches in. I mean, that's essentially what got that huge lead. And obviously, three-point shooting is a big part of that, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a big part of their DNA down the stretch. They have to find a way to not only defend and come up with huge stops, but execute offensively. They have more than enough weapons for that. And I get it. No Derek White, no Jrue Holiday. Those are two big guys on the offensive end of the floor, two facilitators. But the Celtics have proven that they can win these type of games. I mean, they had a 30-point lead, crying out loud. It's just one of those situations where, man, if you're one of those teams in the playoffs and you got the Celtics with their backs against the ropes, those teams are going to build confidence over and over again. And it can really change the complexion of a best of seven series, especially if you just beat them twice. I mean, we've seen that in the past with this team. So
it wasn't just and it wasn't just late game or end of game tonight too. I mean, Bobby, the way that third quarter started couldn't have been worse for the Celtics. Joe Mazzulla elected to try to play through it. Yeah. Let the guys figure it out on their own. How many times have we seen that happen and backfire and not work out the way that Mazzulla had wanted it to? And again, the same thing tonight. And eventually he did have to call a timeout. I think maybe it was another possession or two after the fact. But is this just something that we're going to have to just accept with Joe, is that he's going to hang on to these timeouts and he's going to really try to force his players to figure it out on their own until they're basically drowning out there?
Yeah, it is. And I think it makes sense in this kind of game where you're experimenting, where you want to play through a situation like that. I mean, what better game to do that in than this one where you just clinch the East and you have Tatum and Brown out there with a bunch of other different guys and you're putting yourself in these situations and you want to see it out. Like, I don't mind it tonight, Jimmy.
But it didn't work. So are you concerned about the players not being able to figure it out on their own?
I'm concerned about their ability to handle the pressure the Hawks put on them in that spot, because they turned up the heat at the point of attack. They played up to half court. They were knocking guys off the ball. I mean, what happened on the 8 seconds play? I mean, that defined this collapse as much as anything.
I can tell you exactly what happened.
It was too cool for school Tatum, man. I hate that.
I mean, that's an you don't see that much. That's the embodiment.
Jimmy, did you read his lip on the TV? He's barking. Yeah. That was 7 seconds. That was seven. Okay, one second off. Why are you in that situation?
Why are you totally missing the point? Yeah, exactly.
I should have been in on Tatum asking him about that. I hope someone did, but man, that play embodied this collapse, didn't it?
If Gary didn't, someone did. Yeah,
that's something.
I mean, they just slowed down and took their foot off the gas. I love how Brown said too. He not only took their foot off the gas, they took their hands off the wheel.
Oh, wow. A lot of
that.
Speaking of Brown, we got a Brown clip right here. Let's see what he had to say.
Similar situation against Cleveland. You mentioned mindset after that game, too. What do you have to develop in a spot like this to be able to pull yourself out of this? And what's the most difficult part of that?
Just taking every possession, handling it, the right way. I think that, we got a little casual. We got a little distracted. And it cost us.
Crunch time, it's 1 point game late there. How do you feel like that went? And, where do you feel like you guys are in those kind of spots, especially you and Jason as the ball handler?
I feel like we had some good looks. I just feel like we didn't get a stop. I didn't love the last shot that we got. I think we kind of waited too late. I was waiting for the action to kind of develop. But, the clock was winding down. We were taking too much time. And I didn't really like the last shot that I got on the right wing. But other than that, I feel like we got some good looks. Outside of, some of the turnovers that we had. But, that's something that we definitely will continue to work on.
Yeah, I mean, that was a horrible possession, that last shot that Brown took. And I want to lead right into, before we get
it sounds like he's blaming the else. Threat, though, Jimmy. Not to sound controversial here, but he's like, well.
Sounds like he's what?
It sounds like he's blaming the prep, the prep, like preparing for that play is like, well, the screen did in this, and the screen's like,
That leads us to the blame pie, Joe Sway.
Yeah, we need some music that for this.
Leads us to the, we need a sponsor for the blame pie.
We need like a circus thing, like a, I don't know, something like that.
Blame pies. CLNS Card Report blame pie. We, if I'm on the show on a loss, you can guarantee there's going to be a blame pie going around. So Bobby, we'll start with you. Who are you dishing out slices to tonight?
I think you go to Tatum. Minus 15 in the second half, second worst on the team behind Pritchard. He's out there for much of that opening stretch and the runs that cost him in the second half there. We talk about slowing down. That's all on him. We know Jalen wants to speed it up and be aggressive in these spots. I thought he had some nice moments in the second half too. Pritchard saved them at times in that second half with his ability to create shots and create offense. And Joe, again, I think this is an experimental game from his standpoint. He's not going to save them in a game like this. He's trying different stuff. He's putting different lineups out there. He doesn't have the full roster at his disposal. So I think he gets a break in this one too. It's Tatum, man. Like that 8 second thing. It's the perfect embodiment of the lack of trust we still have in him to get this done or the distrust, you know, the skepticism, I think is the right word, actually, that he's going to get it done this year because of habits like that. It's on him. You know, he's the leader of the team. He's setting the tone. The ball is in his hands more than anybody's. He needs to be able to manage the game. When we're talking about managing the game, as Joe does, Joe's not going to rip individual players. He's not going to rip the team. But he's going to talk about stuff like that. And when he's talking about managing the game, it's on a guy like Tatum. And I know Brown's part of that. I know Pritchard's part of that. But more and more, we're going to see that whether or not they win this championship is going to come down to Tatum. I think everybody else is going to do their jobs. He has the hardest job, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this one shouldn't have been hard tonight.
Josue?
Oh, man.
Cutting up the pie, or are you giving it all? Bobby just pie.
Yeah, he just
took the pie and just shoved the whole thing on Tatum, dude. Just like that. Tossed it in his face.
I thought he was gonna do some math here, but he's like, nah, man, 100%.
100%. One for one. Should we blame I'll pull a chat and blame Jaden Springer.
Man, don't do him like that. Yeah, he made the most. It was one of those, like, once you hit like the 4 or 5 minutes in the game, you knew it was going down. Like, yeah, he did his best, man. He did his best. All right, just to make
our blame pie is looking like me. Our blame pie is looking like my webcam right now, man.
It's you run out of time, Josue. It's disappearing.
Yeah. I'm going 60. All right, I'll go 60 Tatum. Shit, you know what? 60-40, whatever. Tatum and Mazzulla. The 40 goes to Mazzulla, and I know he's the coach.
I like that.
I know maybe people be like, oh, well, maybe the coach should get a bigger slice, but Tatum knows better than this, man. Jimmy, what does attitude reflect?
Leadership.
Exactly. Captain. One of your go-to lines last year. We got to repeat it again because Tatum was not putting forth the right attitude, man. Like, you're the leader of this team. You've mm-hmm. been that guy all year long. You were the point forward in this game, and you got off to a hell of a start. It wasn't just dominating with scoring like you did, and it wasn't just like one of those nights where it felt like, man, if only this game was closer, we'd see Tatum go off for 40, you know, and it was closer, but we didn't see that side of Tatum on the second half. We saw Pouty Tatum. We saw, I can't believe we're losing, you know what I mean? Not even losing, but I can't believe we gave up this huge lead, Tatum. Why aren't things, you know, coming so easily for me? And then as soon as he got that humongous dunk, that drive, that's a Tatum I want to see. I want to see more of that.
Big
but
play.
Then that guy disappeared. He disappeared. Yeah. Jaylen Brown stayed the course, though. Kept seeking high percentage looks. Again, I hated the last possession, but I can't give him even a sliver of his pie. I'm going with Tatum and Mazzulla. And then the Mazzulla gets his 40, or excuse me, Mazzulla gets his, 40. He gets his 40% off of not being prepared for these situations. He's not prepared for these guys. All right. I just feel like that's something he has to work with his coaching staff. They gotta make those decisions obviously on the fly, and they have to have the right X's and O's to back up those situations. Whether it's Brown that needs to have the ball in his hand, whether it's Tatum, whether it's an option with Porzingis in the middle. And again, I know they're gonna have Derek White, and they'll most likely have Jrue Holiday throughout most of the postseason. But this was a great opportunity for guys like Tatum and Brown just to close it out, you know? Okay, yeah, you blew the big lead, but you still had a chance to close it out. I never saw them really sulk I never saw anyone else sulk besides Tatum, and Tatum is the leader. If you had that type of attitude, it's going to trickle down. I think it did. I really do.
Yeah, that's good.
I'll say with Brown, too, just to sprinkle it in, Jimmy. Yep. Missed free throw, the foul on Hunter. Yeah. And that shot, it's tough to give him a pass on the shot clock play. That was pretty bad.
Well, the shot, yeah. Well, the you mean his possession there at the end?
Yeah, where it ran out of time. Yeah,
I think this is fair. Baylen Melanie says 10% is on Brown with his free throws in that last shot. That's fair. So Brown gets like the last.
He's got a little slice of pie.
Yeah, he really does. That's becoming a bigger problem. It feels like because you know there's going to be a situation in the playoffs where he's going to step to the line in a big situation. And it's all mental at that point. It's clutch at that point.
You know, if he keeps this up, it's going to turn into Hack of Jaylen.
Hack of Jaylen is going to, it's going to be the new thing.
Eric Spoelstra.
I could see it.
Or one of these playoffs. They will put him on the spot on the road. Absolutely. If he keeps this up, I'm telling you, people are doing their homework.
Well, fresh off a full serving of blame pie, we're going to hear from Jason Tatum here.
It's tough. You want to win every game you play. You know, for us, we never, like, people think we never should lose. And, you know, we was up a lot, and we kind of, we f***ed the game up. And we know that. We all adults and the professionals, and we know we didn't do the things necessary to win. And I think that's sometimes easier to fix when you know if you do the right things and play the right way and how we're supposed to, we know usually what the outcome is going to be. So, like KP said, not overreact. Take it on the chin and get ready for Thursday.
So, if John Zanis was here tonight, and he's not, I think he's at like a podcast convention or something, guys. I think he's somewhere. He's somewhere doing something to help make our show bigger and better and than it already is. So we'll give him a pass.
He's just like selling merch somewhere. He's just like, yeah. I don't want to get these t-shirts right now.
He's selling bucket hats somewhere. But what would he say about why he hates that answer from Tatum? We. I don't know how many we's could we count on that one. But there's the accountability calling into question again. I didn't like that answer. Playing it off as, you know, it's a loss.
Three layers to
we
it.
Should win, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Let's go over the layers.
That,
this is a layered the pie one. Now.
Then the third one. You said everyone thinks we should win all the time, right? And for me, it's just the – hold on. Play it again.
All right, let's play it again. We loved it so much. We'll play it again. Here we go.
pull that back.
There's something else in there.
You know, for us, we never, like – people like think we never should lose.
We
was up a lot, and we kind of – we f***ed the game up. And we know that. We all adults and the professionals, and we know we didn't do the things necessary to win. And I think that's sometimes easier to fix when you know if you do the right things and play the right way, how we're supposed to.
What just happened?
I don't know. But I remembered now. So number one, the we. Number two, everyone thinks we should win all the time. Mm. And number three, just move on. Just move on to Thursday. Forget about it. That's always been his approach. And, you know, there's been situations where they found themselves in big holes. And I've asked him, you know, do you have to switch up that approach a little bit? I know he wants to just erase games, erase misses from his head. And I think that's worked for him to some degree. Like, you can't have a game like game six against Philly last year where you start 1-13 or whatever it was and turn around without forgetting about the misses and staying aggressive. I think that's important for him. But I do think after losses like this, you need to diagnose things a little bit more. You know, where do you go wrong? What do you need to take from this game? And his approach often, at least publicly, has been just throw it in the trash and move on to Thursday. So I've never loved that from him either. I get why he does it, but I think there's a little bit more introspection you need from, you know, a loss like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost kind of like the too cool for school. He looks like his postgame kind of reflects his play out there in the second half, Bobby. He said it like, or Joe Sway, walking the ball up, you know, sort of being slow into your sets, not working the ball around like you were in the first half. I mean, couldn't miss in the first quarter. And then, like, I don't know, Porzingis kind of said they got, what did he say? They got comfortable or they stopped playing, basically.
Let me be honest, Jimmy, I skip a lot of those Tatum sessions. I skipped it tonight. I don't find what he says in those settings interesting. I don't find it insightful. I think he just kind of shrugs these off. And if that works for him, great. But at least public facing is, you know, the leader of the team. I don't think we learn a lot about like his mindset and his approach coming out of games like this. And listen, you sit up there and you take the credit when you win and you, you know, bask in the glory, but you need to be able to sit up there after losses and be able to die, you know, great. You face, you know, the media as you should, but you also need to be able to kind of speak for the team in that moment. Like, what do you need to do? Where do you need to improve? What do you need to learn from a game like this? And too often it's just, you know, whatever, on to the next one.
Yeah,
because in his mind he's thinking we won 9 of the last 10. Like, what do you want from us? You know what I mean? I just feel like that type of attitude, it's just, I don't know, man. Like, again, it's not like the sky's falling for this team, but I just feel like they're showing their vulnerable side, you know, which is you can
– the mindset.
Bully them around a bit. Right. Yeah, the mindset. Like, if they're off to a huge lead, like, that's when they're they're weak-minded. You got to attack them. I mean, obviously, no team's going to go out there and like try to go down by 25 and be like, "Oh, here we go. This is the recipe to beat the Celtics." But it just shows that when you really make them uncomfortable, when things are going really well for them, you can close out a deficit in a hurry. And the Hawks prove that, you know. And let's face it, they're missing like three starters or three guys out of their rotation, and obviously one of them is Trae Young. So I just think that
that's what really made this one a killer.
You're putting yourself out there a bit, you know, and I feel like the word's kind of been out, but now it's like, man, like you guys are going to really be put on the spot here if you can't carve out a significant lead down the stretch. You know, they're going to be one of those teams in the playoffs.
Well, that's – yeah, and again, this is like a good problem to have, I guess, but there hasn't been a lot of there hasn't been a lot of situations this year where the team has had to overcome like a lot of adversity. Right. And not really like band together and them against the world sort of mentality, trust each other and forge through. And like the whole thing, like hard times create strong men type mentality. It's like, So if that's going to happen, if you're going to hit the playoffs, obviously you're the one seed, everything looks great, home court, blah, blah, blah. But if you hit a bump in the road, how are you going to respond to that? How are you going to address it? Are you going to take it face on? Are you going to make the necessary changes right off the bat? Are you going to ignore it? Are you going to just downplay it? Like, these are the things that I think if you are concerned about something, it would be how this team is going to react to adversity. Because you have to imagine that they'll face at some point, whether it's, I mean, it won't be the rest of the regular season here, but in the playoffs at some point, you know, assuming that they're going to be playing against teams that are going to be fighting for, you know, they're going to fight for their playoff lives just like the Celtics are. Then there's not going to be any cakewalks in the playoffs. Everybody has pride. You see what happens when you take an opponent for granted. Celtics have done it a couple times this year. If that's one lesson they can take from tonight, hopefully they can finally take it. But I feel like we've talked about this numerous times in the past. So it'll be
interesting. I think this is why we've kicked around the playoff path the last handful of games here, Joe Swain, who's looming in the first round. I think this is exactly why I think all of us agree here that you'd rather see a Miami, a Philly round one, the toughest opponent possible right off the bat. Because, yeah, you're going to cruise by a Chicago or an Atlanta, for that matter. You know, they're in the mix here. But it's not going to be difficult enough. It's not going to heighten their senses. It's not going to raise their antenna to start the playoffs. You put Miami on the other side, it might be difficult. You might be at risk of losing round one potentially just because of how difficult of a matchup it's been in different spots. But you realistically shouldn't, and you're going to take it so seriously that it's just going to set a good tone for the playoffs. So you should be asking for the toughest possible first round opponent for this team just to wake them up, get them going.
Mm-hmm.
And put them in a serious mindset right off the bat, just like that Brooklyn series did a couple of years ago, Jimmy. We debated that one fiercely going into those playoffs.
Yeah, but Bobby,
that's why a scary was that team on the other side, but it put them right in that mindset that we're talking about here.
Well, I was just going to say, Bobby, why was that significant, though? Because it was kind of like, man, we're finally going to not beat the bully, but kind of like beat the quote-unquote super team, you know? And then this time, if it's the Miami Heat, man, what can motivate these guys more? If you're Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Derek White and the guys that were on the team last year, it's like, man, those guys, like, we should have made history last year. Let's get, you know what I mean? Like, that should be natural. You know, that should be your approach in terms of being tough minded. It's like, no, you're not gonna get us this time. You know, so yeah, I would embrace a matchup like that for sure, 100%.
You guys, want to remind the
first round? Yeah.
Yep. We want to remind everybody that the Garden Report is brought to you by our great friends at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. The easiest and most exciting way to play DFS. It's just you against the numbers instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks. You pick more or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch their winnings roll in. Guys, it's very simple. Download the app. Prize Picks is going to match 100% up to $100 of your first deposit. Super easy. I've done it, and I am very proud to announce that I won my first Prize Pick.
Pat yourself on the back.
No, Jimmy was.
I went 4 for 4. I picked more or less correctly four times. I picked five. It was an NBA. It was an NBA one, and it was good. $5 wins you $50, just like that. So that was a lot of fun for me this weekend when there wasn't a whole lot going on otherwise. So, you know, football season's over, but we've got NBA playoffs right around the corner. There's a slew of other sports and events that you could participate in on Prize Picks. So I would totally recommend everyone checking that out. So download the app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match of up to $100. Again, that's the Prize Picks app. You want to download that, and you're going to be prompted to type in a promo code. You want to just type in CLNS, and you'll get a 100% deposit match up to $100. Guys, Bobby, you're in Atlanta. What haven't we seen being back here? You notice anything, locker room, post game? What was Joe? You know, we did play a clip of Joe, and we know that you were in there talking to him. Anything stand out to you from what he had to say?
I can tell when he's taking something seriously. Like, he was not defensive tonight. He was not combative about this loss. I think he knows what went on out there is not what you want to see. And again, he's not going to call these guys out. He's not going to blast individual players. That's not his style. But you hear him talk about managing the game and the runs that you have to expect. He said that, you know, after that Bucks game last week, you have to expect up 20 that they're going to come back. It's a given. You know, that's why he keeps emphasizing that stat. The teams blow those leads all the time in the league. So you have to keep playing. I think he's stressing that with these guys. The crunch time stuff, to me, his response to that didn't suffice. I felt like just saying, oh, we're just like everybody else in those spots. And similar to Tatum's comment, right, people want us to win every game. Obviously, you're not going to win every game, but that's where expectations are for this team. And you're not just like every other team in terms of talent, even on a night where you're shorthanded. And listen, they're 3-3 without Derek White now. I think that's a real thing. They cannot survive without him out there. He is looking like the most important player in terms of availability for this team going into the playoffs, Tatum and Brown aside. So you're going to need him down the stretch here. Fortunately, he's super durable, and he's going to play 40 minutes a game this postseason compared to coming off the bench and sitting in crunch time like we saw a year ago. I think that's going to make all the difference, and it has this year with this kind of stuff. But I did sense a level of seriousness here, Jimmy, and that's, you know, why I asked KP, what'd you say after a game like this? You know, does someone even say anything, or is it just a given what happened here? And he said it's a given. You blew it in the second. It lingered into the third. Everybody knows that. You don't have to say it. So I don't. Does that reflect well to you, the fact that you walk out of a game like this and it's obvious what went wrong? Or do you think someone does need to speak up after a game like this more than we even heard?
Maybe in a group chat or something like that. I don't think they need like a players only meeting, but you know, like just kind of like, hey, like that wasn't cool what happened last night.
I do believe they have a team dinner tonight.
Tonight,
you also have three days.
And that is a shit timing for a team dinner.
So, or 2 days off, right? The next 2 days off. So,
yeah, I mean, they're going to be together. Yeah. They've got a few days here. I mean, Jaylen Brown's in his hometown.
They have a practice on Wednesday,
hanging out with some friends and family. But they have some time to get it together. You know, little team bonding on the road. And again, it's temp. You can be very, very annoyed by how this game went. You can be disappointed. You can be somewhat concerned just on a macro level, just because there is – yeah, here you go.
That's pretty funny.
There is the idea that this is not – we know this is not a one-time thing because we've seen it now a few times and a couple as of late. So if you're trying to find things – or if you're looking for things to cause you, you know, concern or give you a little pause, you know, Bobby, you mentioned it. Very, very late game execution, it would be one. And the other one would be not being able, not that they don't, but in some situations, like tonight, just Jekylling and hiding the first and second half, just completely, letting up. And this was one example, and Cleveland recently without Donovan Mitchell was another example. So It's a pattern a little bit. So that's pretty much where you're at with it. You're not changing, like you're not holding off on any, you know, predictions that you had yesterday. You're not going to change your overall outcome, but this is now something that you're going to be thinking about. And when the playoffs do come around, in the back of your head. So,
yeah. Last thing I get to say is you haven't had as many of these, right? Kristaps said that this hasn't been a habit this year. I don't think they've had a lot of off.
Not a habit
like this.
Right.
It's not I'll a habit. I'll stack them up. It's Charlotte, that Lakers game, and this one. I think that's it in terms
Cleveland.
Of
Cleveland. That was recently.
Yeah. But I'm saying games you should have never lost in a million years. I know you're big in that game and that makes it that way, but you go into that game on the road against Cleveland. I mean, that's the third best team in the conference. So I don't put that one in the same category as these three where LeBron and Davis are sitting. That Hornets team was horrendous. And this Hawks team put a non-playoff team on the floor tonight. So those are three in a class of their own. Whereas last year, I think you had like eight or nine of those at least. That's a different situation this year. I just don't like the response being the same. Mm-hmm. This is fine. On to the next one. We're okay. Because you find yourself in those situations in the playoffs, and you can't do that. Remember last year, down 0-3, and it's just a scramble to start identifying issues and figuring things out.
Well, that's the whole thing.
I remember Al saying around that time last year, we should have identified these things sooner. You know, we were trying to identify these things sooner and figure them out. So you got to get ahead on stuff like this. Because it's going to happen, Jimmy. It's not going to be – get it out of your heads. They are not going to win the championship blowing every team away by a million points, especially the style they play. Because, Jimmy, first half you're on fire from three. Second half you're ice cold and you got to figure it out. And no one's going to accept, once again, because people try to say it after the East Finals. Does anyone look back at those East Finals and say, yeah, they just missed shots and the Heat made a bunch of shots? Oh, well. You can – but does that make you feel any better about how that series went?
Yeah.
So I don't want to overreact to this one because I do think for three quarters you're experimenting and you're down 2-point guards and all those excuses are valid. But then you get to the very end, and I think that's a real takeaway. That crunch time situation is a real sore spot for this team.
Mm-hmm. Facts, my dog. Josue, you got any final thoughts here?
Yeah, man. I just think this team needs to get back to just being what it – when it's at its best on the defensive end of the floor. And that shouldn't change much, even though when guys are out of the lineup, and I know Derek White and Drew Holiday, they really missed those guys tonight, but I just feel like their approach in that first half, I mean, yes, I guess it's easier to play defense when your three-point shots are falling, and you got this 20-point lead going on 30, but I just think they can't change what they're doing on the end of the floor, no matter what. And I think a lot of the times when teams are able to just go on a quick run against the Celtics, they have to learn to fight back. And a lot of the times, like that's the difference in some of those in those matches that you brought up, Bobby. Especially the teams that are shorthanded, have nothing to lose. Like we're not even supposed to win this game anyways. Like that's what they feed off of. And I also think they feed off of that lax approach. You know, so that can't be something that we see again. You know, from this point forward, they got to approach every game because these are tune-ups for the playoffs, essentially. So they have to approach it that way. And I feel like that's not always the case, or they let up in certain quarters and they hadn't done that. They haven't done that in a while, you know? So obviously the win streak was great, you know, almost the second time that they extended into double digits. Didn't happen this time around, but hopefully this is just a one-off.
We got to remember no guards tonight.
You don't see this again.
No guards tonight. We got to remember. Holiday or White tonight.
Tatum was holding it down, all right, Jimmy?
He was holding the ball. That's what he was doing.
I think there's three very valid excuses out of this one, and it doesn't excuse how the game ended because that's anybody's ball game once it's one-point game late. But you were fooling around with lineups and strategy and a lot of different stuff throughout the flow of the game. So it's a mild excuse. And listen, the Hawks team is missing two key guys, maybe the two best players on the other side. So that erases most of the excuse there. But the way the game ended is inexcusable.
If you're just thinking about execution, though, like on offense, like things are going to change completely if you have Holiday and or White out there.
Right. Hopefully Holiday's healthy.
Yeah, you asked about that earlier.
Pritchard was carving up that defense.
I thought Pritchard was pretty good in this one.
He's fine, but he was fine. But you're like, I'm sorry, you're not gonna like Pritchard's not your only and starting guard in the playoffs. So like,
no,
I get it.
Gonna be in a different role. Real quick,
I was just surprised how the adjustments really threw him off in the second half.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like he just
completely Joe went to start. He went to Pritchard to start the second half, which was different.
Snyder's an excellent coach too. He gave them hell in that playoff series last year.
That's what I was saying before you hopped on, man. I'm thinking, man, he was like, wait a minute, if I can get Porzingis out of this in the second half, like we got a shot here. And I feel like that's essentially what he did with his changes in the front court and just the way these guys were playing and just muscling the Celtics, you know, especially with the former Celtic Bruno Fernando. Leading things.
Bobby, before we leave, do you have a little update on Holiday for us?
No concern. Did some shooting here, shoot around. He rolled back in some comments about the dead arm, and I said it's more just the after effects of the collision there. So I think, you know, John's assessment, the medical diagnosis we got from John was pretty accurate. Just a little bit of a stinger. And they're taking their time with that. Joe said before the game, he's not worried at all.
All right. That's the Holiday update, guys. I want to remind you, March Madness is going strong at CLNS Garden Report. We are in the Kevin Jelly region right now. Voting is live. Get the votes in. I think tomorrow is probably the last day to vote for the Sweet 16 matchups. And then we'll announce the Elite Eight. So I want to thank everybody who voted us for that, in the bracket for that. And I think that's pretty much it. One more time, let's remind everybody that we are brought to you guys by PXG, pxg.com/garden, and save 10% on all apparel. And last but certainly not least, Prize Picks. Head over to download the app, the Prize Picks app, type in the promo code CLNS, and they will match a 100% match of up to $100. And head on over there and do your
stay
more
tuned
or less.
To, I believe in a few minutes we'll go live again here from Atlanta. I want to say we're going live, but
I think you are.
Yeah, I'm almost certain we are. So
I don't know if you are, but there will be
it's always Wi-Fi depending, Jimmy.
Oh, Bobby,
it's always
Bobby, Wi-Fi. Are you going live or are you not going live?
I know Ahmed is on the court right now. Waiting for Bobby to get out there. So
Ahmed's doing the tests. We might have some special guests. So just stay tuned to the channel here. Turn on the notifications and you'll see when we go live.
Stick to the Twitter, right? Celtics CLNS Twitter. We'll post everything there, links and whatnot. We want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. Thank you, Bobby from Atlanta. Thank you, Joe Sway from Brockton. Just kidding, wherever you're at these days. We'll see Bobby again on Thursday with a rematch. A little
game
little,
two.
Little Celtics it's have revenge. A chance to make up for this disaster. How about that? So we will see you guys on Thursday, and I am going to look for the outro. Deuces. Wait, Ahmed's got an outro for us, I think.
No, he doesn't.
He said he was going to work on an outro.
He had a phenomenal game.
Phenomenal game.
Horford's out. I think it's an option.
That did not sound like a chair.
It was a freaking chair. It does sound like a chair.